As always, we visit with Stephen Brunt. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Flames, happy town there this morning.
It's a happy place, yeah. Talk to us Friday after they play St. Louis, and it could be we might be just blowing everything up, but who knows? For the time being, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, what's that like watching hockey games at the end of March that matter?
Oh, listen, hey, you know what? Like, I won't even go there because it's not like we're used to this.
It's been 5 years, Stephen.
I guess that's true.
But it's the one thing you talk to people, and whether or not they believe that the team can get in or make any noise, the one thing everyone can agree on is how incredible the season has been, the entertainment value of this team, and it feels like so long since you've been able to have that pit in your stomach watching a hockey game.
Yeah, which is the best, which is why you watch sports. You know, that's why we watch, because of stuff like that, especially when you get that unexpected payoff. You know, there are times when you expect the payoff, you expect the team to be good, you kind of assume a team will be in the playoffs. But there's something particularly sweet, and again, I don't know how the story's going to end, but there is something particularly sweet and exciting and gratifying about exactly what you guys are going through. You know, no one saw this coming, and isn't it a blast? And, you know, even if it means, losing some sleep and having to, a little bit of anxiety or a lot of anxiety, that, people remember this. This is what the kind of stuff you remember. You don't remember the stuff we're sitting through here right now. You remember that.
And maybe Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan and Mark Giordano turn into Hall of Fame players, and we'll look back and say, well, it shouldn't have been that surprising. But there were no expectations of anything this year, which makes the whole thing crazier. And it's continuing. They've played 77 games, and it's hard to explain how they're doing it. It's just hard work and some breaks and a little bit of skill here and there, and they're finding ways to beat teams that you feel like they shouldn't be beating.
Yeah, after being declared dead how many times by how many people?
A few.
Boom's still not on the bandwagon.
Everyone...
just missing one key component to the bandwagon, Stephen.
It's great. These guys want me to come on the bandwagon and finally say, I'm in, they're going to make it, all of this. And everybody on the text line, they're like, stay the F out!
Yes, I can understand what you're saying.
You're going to jinx everything, you fat bastard.
Well, aside from the last part, I agree with them. Yeah. Yeah. Stay out. Don't mess with karma. Karma, that's very important.
So again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the Leafs, but
I'll tell you, there is one, and I know one does, but I think the one thing that may is kind of interesting with them, it has nothing to do with hockey in its own way, but I'm an old guy. In my lifetime, I don't think that there has ever officially been an empty seat at a Toronto Maple Leaf game. You know, the notion that you could get a ticket to a Toronto Maple Leaf game as a kid for me was like this impossible, wondrous idea that maybe someday, somehow you would get a ticket, because the only people who got tickets were people who knew, had connections, or had loads of money. And, you never get to sit in Maple Leaf Gardens. And then the one time you did, it was as though you were going to the Vatican or something. And that idea of scarcity and value and stuff was, a whole part of, it kind of feeds on itself, right? If you think you can't ever get a ticket, then that ticket has huge value, and that people would hold on to that ticket. And, all through the Ballard years, all through all kinds of horrible crap, and this season, it's over. Finally, they're not just, kind of no-shows, but they're actually declaring less than sellouts in Toronto, which I didn't think I'd ever see. There's always been that sense that biggest hockey market in the world, huge loyalty to the brand, even though the brand kicks people in the teeth every so often, that you could not kill it, and yet they appear to have, which I think is kind of remarkable. Maybe from a sociological standpoint than from a sports standpoint, but they've actually driven people away from that building, which I don't think anybody thought you could do.
So is it the era we're in, the generation, shorter attention spans? Is there any way to kind of explain it or wrap your head around it?
I think, I think attending live sporting events isn't what it once was. I think people, the alternate experience of watching a game on TV is way better than it used to be. And they're, of course, they're all available, and you can sit in the pleasure of your home and watch it in HD and with a home theater sound, and it's pretty darn good. And I think we see softening of attendance in all sports. So that is part of it, I think. But you know, honestly, I think part of what's gone on here is that this that they have managed to produce a team that is not just bad, but appears to not give a damn. Like, it's almost just rubbing it in people's faces, the lack of try, the lack of effort. And they are the least likable group of professional athletes I think I've ever been around. That's not, and again, I don't know these guys, but just the way they play outside of the arena, the way they come across. They come across as the opposite of kind of plucky underdogs that are trying really, really hard, even if they're not quite good enough. This is like talented guys who are getting paid enormous amounts of money, who stopped trying a long time ago, and are kind of laughing at everybody. That's a bad vibe if you're a consumer. You know, that's a bad vibe if you're a fan to think, boy, they care way less than I do. That's how it's coming across. Whether or not that's 100% true, that's what's coming across, and it is really, really sour here. And I know, again, I'm not asking for sympathy, and Lord knows I've hated the Leafs my entire life, so I'm okay with this. But I don't know that I've ever really experienced something like this before, where people, it's not just that they're apathetic, you know, they hate them. They really hate their own team.
Does it strengthen a case for another team in Toronto, or is it the exact opposite when the biggest hockey market in the world doesn't sell out, I wonder?
It's a good question. You know, I don't think there ever is going to be another team in the market, because I just, you know, again, the NHL always pretends that there's no territorial thing in the Constitution, but I think there is, right? I think, you know, essentially the team controls the rights to the whatever that geographic area is, and if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's something I'm not, I don't think you can put a price on exclusivity in Toronto, so I don't think they're ever selling it. But it would be a very interesting dynamic here if there's, you know, if there were another team in Toronto or in, you know, Lord knows, in Hamilton close by that, you know, was likable, you know, in the way the Flames are likable, you know, that was in it, or the way the Jets are likable right now. You know, everybody loves the Jets. You know, if you had that kind of a story playing out beside the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, I wonder if you could kind of turn people's heads. My guess is you could, you know, because everybody, you know, people want to be part of it. You know, you want to be part of the playoffs. You don't want to be sitting here in March, or at least the playoff race. You don't want to be sitting here in March saying, boy, the next hockey I'm going to watch is, you know, with my home team is in October.
There won't be playoff hockey in Toronto or Edmonton, and it's looking like fading fast in Ottawa. But all of a sudden, if you've got Vancouver and Calgary, potentially Winnipeg, Montreal, it feels like it's been a long time since we've had that much Canadian content. I don't need the Scott Moore, what does this mean to us as a company type of a thing, but to have that much on the line for TV and revenue, what does it mean? Because I know that the boys up top are rooting hard for all of Canada right now.
Yeah, damn right they are. Yeah, I think it allows people, well, you know, it means you got a bunch of rooting interests across Canada for how long those teams make, you know, assuming those teams hang in for however long they last, which is different than watching, you know, hockey is kind of a neutral and trying to, and again, I think people will jump behind some of these teams too. You know, I think you're going to see people jump behind the Flames or behind the Jets, you know, maybe not the Canucks. I don't think anybody outside Vancouver ever cheers for the Canucks, but I think the Jets and Flames would get a lot of support from people. And, you know, the Habs are a national team. They're the one of those teams that maybe has a shot to go to the finals, although if you watched them last night against Tampa, that's their nemesis. They cannot beat that Tampa team. So, you know, you've got the combination of some plucky underdogs, and you've got, you know, maybe one legitimate contender that was pretty close to getting to the finals last year with the, you know, that, yeah, no, the Habs polarized. People either love them or hate them. But that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty rich combination. And, again, I think it is different. I know it's not just about the flag-waving part, but, you know, for me, I feel differently watching a Canadian team play than I do watching Anaheim or Dallas or St. Louis. I just do. I care a little bit more.
Something about the theme music coming in.
Well, and especially with two, I'd say Calgary, and we're a bit biased here, but Calgary and Winnipeg, I mean, it's easy to root for those two teams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, I think, you know, if you watch sports, it's hard to watch it just to watch sports neutrally, right? You know, like part of what happens when people watch the NCAA basketball, especially in the early part, is you pick a team, right? You cheer for somebody, even if you've never heard of them or you don't know where they're from. You know, you want somebody to cheer for. And, you know, one of the natural things is you kind of pick an underdog and you pick a team that's got kind of a fun personality. No one's going to, again, if you're neutral, you're not going to set up and cheer for the Chicago Blackhawks or, you know, a team that's kind of, you know, a big power. You're going to cheer for, you're going to pick someone else. And the, you know, the Winnipeg story, the first playoff back there, or, you know, Calgary and all the, you know, all the near-death experiences this season, and if they make it, yeah, that's simple. You know, whether or not you guys want us, we're going to jump on that bandwagon and cheer for them.
Yeah, and you know what? It's weird. I don't really have a strong affinity for Montreal. But then the playoffs hit, and those incredible intros at the Bell Center with the horn and the crowd, it's, okay, if they're playing Tampa Bay, I know who I'm cheering for. I'm cheering for Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, and it's been a, you know, it's been a while since a Canadian team won a Stanley Cup. You know, if you got a, you know, and the Canucks, again, may be the exception to this rule, because I'm still not sure, even when the Canucks got to the final, if anybody outside of Vancouver was cheering for them. They just inspire a certain kind of chilly ambivalence from most people, I think. Or I guess if you guys are closer to them, they inspire hatred, right?
Like, well, I know how it went here.
Yeah, because here it was kind of just, you know, oh, that would be good. That would be nice for a Canadian team. But there was just no real passion for it. But I think if the Habs were in the final, I think that would have a different feel nationally, you know, and I think it would turn into a bit of flag-waving occasion, and we'll see. I think they're going to be hard-pressed, depending on the matchups, to get there, but they would certainly have the best shot of anybody that's, you know, any Canadian team that's going to get in.
That will be a fun one if all these teams get in. Which of the Canadian entries would have the best shot at going the deepest? Because funny things happen, man. Once you get in, it's the
matchups.
It's totally. We've talked about it this morning, and it's a great point by Warner. It's about matchups. Vancouver last night beat St. Louis. How? Why? They've had their number for a few years now.
11-0-2 in their last 13.
Yeah, there's no reason to explain it, but yet it's there. And once you get into the playoffs, you throw all that other stuff out, and it does come down to the matchups.
Yeah, the matchups, and then, you know, often crazy goaltending. That if you know a goaltender can carry you all the way. You know, speaking of the Montreal Canadiens, if you look at the last two cups they won, you know, there's one guy was the reason. So that's. You know, that's still, and they still have a guy who can do that. So that's the one kind of X factor to me, is that they have a goaltender who is capable of winning the Stanley Cup pretty close to all by himself.
We'll get you on later this week. I know we were going to talk Blue Jays. They're coming north soon, and it looks like they're pretty much dialed in, but we'll get more to that on Friday.
Yeah, I'll be on my way to Montreal Friday. I think we can do it before I get on the plane, but they're playing in Montreal this weekend, and okay. Yeah, the roster is being finalized as we speak.
So, well, what the hell? What do you see?
A lot of kids.
Yeah.
A lot of kids. It would be interesting to see. The only real question is whether they take an extra pitcher north with them temporarily. But
two catchers, you know, right?
That's big.
Two catchers, so Toley in Buffalo, I would think.
Hmm. Are you concerned about Martin in the knuckleball or no?
Not too much. And again, I don't think I think you may see Josh Toley before this season's out situationally, but... Yeah, I think Russ Martin, he'll be fine. It's just a matter of how much of a toll it takes on him as the year goes on. I'm more worried about that than, you know, I don't think you're going to see a J.P.R. and Sebia repeat when he catches him.
Well, that would be something. That would be historic, is
yeah,
basically
we better
what
not
you're saying.
Do that again.
Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you Friday.